Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Last night, the Alamo Plaza Advisory Commission met to discuss the future of the most famous address in San Antonio, Alamo Plaza. There are concerns that the Alamo experience have been cheapened by the sideshow-like attractions across the street and the modern Alamo presentation that looks nothing like the historic mission. Well, what do you want to see on the grounds of the Alamo and Alamo Plaza? Should we focus on the one Alamo era at the cost of another? Maybe the colonial Spanish mission Alamo or the Texas Independence Defenders Alamo. Give us a call. We want to hear from you on this. This is a community conversation. 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And you can also email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Maurice McDermott. She's the president of the Witte, and she's a tri-chair of the Alamo Plaza Advisory Commission. And also Steve Tomka, he is a chief archaeologist at the Rabbah Kistern Consulting, a former director of the Center of Archaeology at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Welcome to The Source, both of you.
Thank you very much, Dave.
So, Marisa... Maurice, tell us about what's wrong with the Alamo now. Why do we need to change it?
Well, first of all, you know, the Alamo is such a sacred place, an important place to so many people, for so many people. Before the Alamo was made famous by the Battle of 1836, it was a center of the city. It was a place where Mission Indians lived. Spanish settlers lived, and even before that, it was a land by the river, which was so important. Of course, you know, the pivotal moment was, or 13 days rather, was the Battle of 1836, and it was a time of standing for liberty, right? Crossing, not crossing the line, dying for freedom. There's nothing bigger than that, more apocryphal than that. So, this is a huge and emotional narrative for people all around the world, and they come to see the Alamo for that reason and many more. The fact that San Antonio is so multicultural at its very root, at its base, is also part of the Alamo experience, a key part of the Alamo experience. In fact, a lot of what the battle was about that. So it's a big story. It's the big narrative, and it's tough to have such a huge... narrative in a small place, and the building itself is iconic, clearly, but what people are asking for is, can we do better? Can we have a bigger sense of place for this big story? What can we do to make it a place of reverence and thoughtfulness and consideration and a sense of plurality, a sense of what America can be or has been, what Texas is? Those are huge themes and guiding principles that this wonderful, amazing committee has put together. There are a series of visions, and then there's a series of guiding principles that have already put in place, and the public meeting last night really tested some of the assumptions behind the vision statements and the guiding principles. I'm sure I answered that way longer than you wanted, but...
Right. So, you know, there is the Alamo, which is now being run by the Texas Land Office. And now we have the, you know, no longer the Daughters of the Republic of Texas are doing all that. And then we have Alamo Plaza, which is the city of San Antonio. And we're talking about Alamo Plaza, right?
Well, you know, it's an important question. We're talking about the Alamo area experience. Because there were skirmishes, there were moments in history that happened even beyond the Alamo walls that have to do with the Alamo.
Well, the Alamo walls that we think of, like downtown, like right now. I mean,
yeah, sure.
Okay,
there's
sure.
All
because
throughout all of downtown, absolutely, and people were killed and executed beyond that area, even beyond the plaza. So, I mean, and I'm just right that moment speaking about 1836, and then there's a whole other series of narratives, you know, for 100 years prior, 100 years after. So, but there's a lot that happens that Alamo is really a hub for. So you asked about the plaza. Yes, the plaza is key to this. And, of course, you know, there are burial grounds beneath the plaza. There's a lot that happened on the plaza and through time. and then there's the chapel. So that was, as you know, part of an enormous compound. And what I'd really like to do is kick that particular question about the geography of it to Dr. Tomka, who knows this area, you know, how the compound very well. And
sure, but I really want to get to what it is that this advisory commission is going to tackle and what the city is trying to do here. It's not the Alamo itself that we think of with the chapel and the grounds and the long barracks and all the things that are enclosed. We're talking about the Alamo Plaza, which is in front of the Alamo, which is owned by the city of San Antonio, and I guess some of the surrounding commercial property that's around.
No, we really don't see it that way, actually. Okay. The plaza is part of the larger puzzle piece that involves, and by the way, the, you know, the state is on this commission or the committee. You know, the area businesses are on this committee. The private business owners are on this committee. So there are an array of different stakeholders and constituents on this committee. There are ancestors on the committee. And so it's really not just about a square in the middle called Alamo Plaza. It is true that that is the city property, but really this is a multifaceted committee and a multifaceted idea that we're trying to foment here. It should be it really should be an experience that is beyond just a piece of property. So the plaza is part of a lot of other pieces that should be put together to call it a sense of place about what the Alamo experience has been and is.
So archaeologist Steve Tomka, so where do we go with that?
Well, the key for us, I think, in the committee and the public meeting as well last night, is to try to contextualize the site itself so that it's part of not just a building and a plaza, but it's part of the old San Antonio, the center of San Antonio as it grew up, with the native population around it, with agricultural fields nearby, irrigation system nearby, fields or pastures for cattle. And so we want to be able to tell a story that encapsulates all of that, and that's why we're focusing on the experience itself rather than one location per se. And archaeologically, the immediate surroundings are the ones where the ruins are buried below the ground, but there are elements of the Alamo story that reach way, to the west of the river, to the east of the river, to the north, encapsulate quite a large area beyond just the ruins themselves.
And so, Maris, before we let you go, where do you think this is going? What do you think we're going to end up with?
What I'm hoping is it'll be there are lots of ideas that are, bubbling up, right? But the ideas that I like the best are actually in our guiding principles and in the vision statements that suggest a public-private partnership because, it belongs to both the public and the private people, people who live there, who have history there and also visit. So I'm hoping that there's a public-private partnership, that there is a sustainable model, a sustainable, engine, really, that can not only be part of a master plan that will create this place that it would be, rightfully called the Alamo Experience, but then also to sustain it over many generations, for a long period of time, so that it is an integral part of the Texas experience and the American experience, and of course the San Antonio experience.
Okay,
at the very root.
Maris McDermott, president of the WITI, thank you so much. Part of the Alamo Plaza Advisory Commission. Got to let you go.
Yes,
thanks for joining
you.
Us. When we come back from the break, we're going to get to these phone calls. Got a lot of calls to get to. What to do with the Alamo? This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the future of remembering the Alamo. The city is looking at possible design changes and plans for Alamo Plaza, trying to enrich the Alamo experience. What do you want to see happen at the Alamo? The number to call in, 614-8980. Let's get to the phones. Alex has called in. Alex, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Go ahead, Alex.
I really love the looking at the Alamo. It's a really beautiful space. The feeling of history that you're kind of imbued with, just standing, looking at this beautiful building, is so powerful. But if you turn around and look across the street, it's really disappointing and I think kind of an embarrassment to the city. And I mean, let's say very idealistically that all the progressives in San Antonio were completely on board with, you know, making that a more accessible space for San Antonians. Because, I mean, right now you're not going to really find anybody in San Antonio who goes to a single business across the street from the Alamo because it's all tourist shops, Pat O'Brien's, stuff like that. But assuming that everybody wanted to change everything across the street from the Alamo, what sort of power do we have to do that? And that I don't believe the city owns those buildings. Correct me if I'm wrong. But those businesses obviously make a lot of money and are privately owned and have no incentive to go elsewhere. What sort of incentives could we provide them, you know, that would allow us to make that a more accessible space for San Antonians?
Okay, Alex, thanks for you for that call. Talking about Ripley's Believe It or Not, there's like a Davy Crockett roller coaster virtual reality thing. All sorts of loud experiences there, not enhancing the reverented, you know, the way things, the sacredness of the situation.
Right. And in addition to that, and I'll come to an answer, but in addition to that, all of those buildings are all historic now, and they are protected by legislation of their own, given that they're older than 50 years. And so the State Historical Commission has a say in what can be done with those buildings as well. But the answer is that all of those buildings are privately owned, and therefore there are, you know, the owners are vested in what can happen with them. There are possibilities, however, of incorporating them into the story itself, where, you know, some kind of partnership could be arranged where perhaps part of the building is made available for an archaeological site, you know, in the floors, you know, through the floor of the building, because some of those buildings are sitting, you know, right on the ruins themselves. And so there are ways of potentially approaching it. But in addition to the financial aspect, which I think can be resolved, you know, in a site, in a location as famous as the Alamo, I think money should not be an object, and I think it you know, it can
be. But money is an object.
It is an object, but I think you know, it can be solved. I think it can be solved. You know, there's so many, when you have international interests and you know, everybody across the world knows about the Alamo. I don't think ultimately that money, you know, will be a stopping point to the development.
So, Steve, you know, as an archaeologist and mm-hmm. you know, international individual, you've been to a lot of places mm-hmm. but similar to the Alamo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who does it right?
Gettysburg, a lot of other sites where the interpretation is not cluttered by modern, you know, post-event architecture, post-event scenery. Those are the ones where when you walk up on them, you really get the sense of the place and of the space. I've been to Machu Picchu, for instance, and when you walk across the Andes and you come across that mountain range and you walk down and look down on the side, it's amazing. It's just, you know, you get the feel of exactly what you're dealing with. And that is not the case in San Antonio, and it's not the case partly because of what has grown up around it. And, you know, it's clear and it's obvious that tells the story of what the city has, you know, how the city has grown. And so that's a story in itself, and it's a valid story to tell. And then the question becomes, do we want to get rid of that just so that we can focus on the Alamo as it was in 36 or as a mission even prior to that? And so those are very difficult decisions. And I don't, you know, whichever way we decide, somebody will not be happy by the final decision. And so that's the reason is possibly to find some middle ground where we leave part of the story as it is and interpret what can be done without, you know, destroying, you know, the latter part of the history of San Antonio.
Okay, back to the phones. Felix is called in. Felix, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really do like your show. I'll make this quick because I know it's short on time. When I moved here to San Antonio in the 70s, all I knew about the Alamo was the battle. I had a very good Texas history teacher, so we learned a lot about the pre-battle phase. So, I guess my bottom line is saying that if we can incorporate the total history or spectrum of the Alamo, and including, like you were saying, you know, visiting, looking at some of the archaeological aspects of it, that would help enhance the total history of the Alamo, and it'd be more appreciated. Because when we did the mission tours when I was a kid, that that great Texas history teacher I had that gave us all the backstory when we were going along the mission, especially the Alamo, it was a better experience.
Yeah.
So I think that would help quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay, Felix, thank you for your call. We appreciate your input on that. So, you know, the chapel, the mission, the Alamo, that it looked nothing like that during the Battle of the Alamo or during the mission era. That facade that we associate with the Alamo was constructed by the U.S. Army.
Correct.
When they used the Alamo grounds as a quartermaster facility.
Correct. And so,
what do? We revert back to that? Are we going to knock the hump off the Alamo because it's not historically accurate? Yeah.
See, those are all very, very serious and relevant questions, and we do not have the answers, to be honest. I think we have consensus revolving around the point that the last caller made, that we need to tell the story of the entire story from mission foundation through 100 years past the battle. How we're going to do that, what we're going to leave, what we're going to take away, I think it's a difficult question to answer, and we really don't have the details of that worked out through the committee. And I'm not even sure whether that's our charge necessarily to work those details out.
Okay, now let's move on back to the phones. Two Bears is here. Two Bears, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. We were there at the meeting with the committee, and Ms. McDermott and everybody was there, and we referenced what she had said, that we need to start this at that 36 period. And, of course, this is a World Heritage nomination. And when I had talked to Mr. Bill Zinkin when this first came up, this was an opportune time to finally create that narrative as far as an American narrative. And we're just trying to be included as far as understanding that we've had to live throughout history as this being the burial grounds. And we had asked even in 94. That they, stop the desecration. These are indigenous burial grounds. And we thought with this nomination that there would be a coming together of creating that American narrative together. And as Native Americans, we're going to push forward in our campaign to together we can. We can create an American narrative here. This is an opportune time for America and Texas to shine. And what the world wants to see. And I don't see why we're not unifying to understand that we have our rights and our culture and our beliefs that we can share with you. And, our people are here. We were part of the Intertribal Council in 94.
Sure. So can I ask you, Two Bears, what do you think, to give me a concrete kind of a thing that we can do at the grounds of Alamo Plaza to honor your heritage and signify the contributions there, and also talk about all the other issues?
Well, to walk through and have those monuments, and of course we pushed to have a monument put there for the indigenous people that were secularized by the church. And we have, drawings that we push forward and try to get acknowledged with the city.
So you have plans. You have very concrete plans.
Oh, yeah. We've had drawings, for years. Even with Mayor Pete back when we were with the Intertribal Council, just acknowledge us. Give us an identity where we can be proud of what was done here. This was the secularization of the Catholic Church. And we thought with the nomination of the Missions of San Antonio being the first World Heritage nomination, it was a no-brainer. This is a coming together. And Mr. Zinkin, he used to do World Peace every Thursday at 5 o'clock, and it was such a great honor to be with him. Said, you'll be able to create that narrative.
Okay, Two Bears, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate that. And so we're now joined by Howard Peake, the former mayor of San Antonio. He sits on the Alamo Plaza Advisory Commission. So, Mayor Peake, how can we incorporate the Native Americans into the vision of the future of the Alamo Plaza?
Well, I must say that I don't have any bright ideas right now, but I do think, I know that we need to bring to the two groups, if you will, at some point, then maybe sometime in the long way, it's not going to be too big a deal.
So it's workable.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what about the closing of the Alamo Street that runs in front of it where there's all that traffic? You know, that's, you know, maybe a problem for, you know, the moving people and products through downtown.
Well, that, it's a main thoroughfare, and it, which is key to the marketing and so on. But what I hope we can do is figure out a way or ways to be able to keep the current people that are in those buildings things change here and there, but to get a feel on the other side of Alamo that, you know, might turn out to be a pretty nice experience.
But the street.
The street.
Is the street going to stay open?
I don't know at this point.
What would you want to do?
Well, we talked about that the other night and didn't come to any conclusion. But given the whole Alamo activity, one of the pieces which is critical to figure out what Alamo Street could be, should be, and that in turn puts that row of buildings opposite the of the building.
Okay, all right. So where are we going? There's another meeting coming up in September. Is that right?
Yes.
There's a lot of work to do still to be done here.
Yeah.
So, Mayor Peek, what's happening?
Well, we just got out of, I think it was last night, several hours of doing that. But I should say that we could be in a position where people are mad at each other, but it's working the other way.
Working towards some sort of solution and a long-term plan.
Yes.
All right, Mayor Howard Peek, thank you for joining us. And Steve Tomka, archaeologist, this is The Source on KSTX.